to the Dan and Dave Show, only on America's Web Radio, and we're glad to have you listening in. Before we get started on the Dan and Dave Show, though, I want to let everybody know that one of our hosts, Michael Conley, was caught up in the bad weather and had there in Canton, Texas, just outside of Dallas, had damage to his home. The area is going to be without power for the next, well, they're saying 2 to 3 weeks, so time will tell on that. And we want to share our thoughts and prayers with all those that were caught up in the storms that hit Texas. And they're actually coming east at this point, so we don't know if... Well, we just don't know what's going to happen, and I don't think they'll be near as severe as they were in Texas, but our thoughts go out to Michael Conley, his family, and all those others that were affected by the storms in Texas over the weekend. Bad, bad stuff.
Where is Canton, Texas?
Just east of Dallas, east and a little bit north.
And I assume that was a tornado?
Yeah, yeah. Michael said this morning when he called that, or actually had left a message that it could have, you know, a lot of his neighbors were, their homes were damaged more severely than his was. He had damage, but that, you know, fortunately he and his wife were not hurt, and the home, you know, has damage, but he hadn't really... assessed how much, but you know, he said literally some of the homes around him, he has a small, I don't know, 4 or 5 acres or something like that, that you know, other homes outside of where, you know, around him were much more severely damaged, and to the point that they wouldn't be livable, so and are totally blown away. So tornadoes, as you and I know, Dan, are not fun things to experience. We grew up in... And it was Roswell as bad as Lubbock on tornadoes?
No, no. We just had... I don't remember ever seeing a full tornado hit the ground anywhere around Roswell. We had, you know, huge dust devils.
Yeah.
And they looked like tornadoes until you got closer to them, and they didn't have the velocity that full-grown tornado has.
I can, you know, obviously Lubbock was hit by a tornado.
Yeah.
I got an early out, a week early out of Fort Ord, California, to come back to the to Lubbock, and. I grew up, when I was farming, my neighbors and I would stand outside and watch little tornadoes. And they can, well, I guess people don't really understand that tornadoes can be of any size. They can be fairly small, literally. What I started to say, my neighbor and I'd stand out in generally his front yard because he had a much better storm cellar than mine, but... we'd stand out and watch them bounce along turn rows or bounce along in our field for a little while. But when the big one, you could tell when the big one was coming up, and this is, I always found this very funny, but I guess it's, and I'm not a meteorologist, so I don't know all that what happens, but when the big tornado was coming towards you or was in the area, And I don't know if it's caused from low pressure or high pressure or pressure at all. I just don't know. But you've heard the old saying, your hair standing up on your back or whatever.
Yes.
When that tornado, a big one, was around, you could literally feel, I guess it's static electricity maybe? I don't know. But anyway, you could feel the hairs on your neck or your back or your arms. Literally coming to attention, and you knew something not good was around you.
Mm. Was there a smell? A, you know, like rain has a distinctive smell to it.
No, it's not the rain that has the smell. You know what it is?
It's the ozone.
It's the water hitting the dry dirt, and that's what makes that smell.
Oh.
Didn't know that. I that's one thing I do know. And that's what makes a smell. And or even on pavement that hadn't had rain and there's still dust on the roads and all that, and that rain hits it, and that's what gives off a type of smell.
Well, so the tornado doesn't have a smell.
It no,
has a distinctive
no.
sound, I've heard. It sounds like a
train and all this kind of
train,
stuff.
Train, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny. We had a terrible tornado in Atlanta. Gosh, I guess it must have been. Oh, I don't really. 16 years ago, maybe. I don't know the time or when it was, but it literally. We heard the train. We were in our basement in our. We do have sort of a little safe room in our basement, and we were, well, I think it was just the two boys and my wife and myself. We were in the basement, and we heard the tornado go overhead. We heard the noise, and then it didn't, thankfully, it didn't hit our house, but it skipped over our house, the country club, which we back up to, and then it came down, and it was devastating to an area, maybe a mile from my house, half a mile to a mile from my house, and it just tore up everything in its way, and it was, it was terrible, and it I don't think anybody, as I recall, no one was killed in it, but the damage was just, here had been a house, and now who knows where the house is now. Devastating, devastating. And I was also, and this was many, many years ago, it would have been in about 74, I think, that the governor's mansion here in Georgia was hit by a tornado. I remember that well. My parents were in town from Texas, and when the tornado hit in the morning, I was in the shower, and the lights went off. And then as soon as I got power back and turned on television, they announced that the governor's mansion had been hit. So they ran. They don't select targets, I don't think. Other than trailers, they do go after trailer homes for some reason.
They make a mess of trailer homes. We actually had a medium-sized tornado hit down or come down right outside of Portland about 5 years ago. Pretty unusual for the Northwest to have a tornado. I'm looking at videotape of this tornado that hit East Texas. Says at least four people were killed.
I think it's up to five
tornado.
Now. It's up to five now, I believe.
My goodness. Well, Mother Nature is powerful.
Absolutely. No Absolutely. Question about it. And, it, as I mentioned, it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't pick and choose. It'll wipe out anybody in its way.
I told you before we started the show, I hadn't watched the news all weekend. And so this tornado is kind of a surprise to me, but I'm looking at the path of the tornado coming right up the midsection of the country up towards Chicago.
Well, it's over Atlanta, Georgia, right at the moment. And just from, it came from the west, and we don't have any. We have some severe weather warnings, but no tornado warnings or watches at this point. But it is, It is in the Atlanta vicinity.
And crummy way to start the week.
And raining like crazy here. So now that we've brought everybody up to date on the weather, well, we can move on, I'm sure. But it is...
Well, I'm sure that you've given Michael regards, but give him regards from the Dan and Dave show, would you?
Sure, absolutely. What can you say? It's one of those things that happens. You can't do anything about it other than hopefully everybody has a safe place in their home that they can go. I don't know about you, Dan, but I have on my, because we do have bad weather, and I guess we have worse weather than you guys do, I do have on my telephone the NOAA or whatever it is warning thing that sets off my alarm on my telephone that, if we have something bad going on.
We have relatives in Oklahoma, and they're always dodging tornadoes. Is this the beginning of tornado season, and isn't it a little bit early for tornadoes?
No. To answer your question.
It's May 1st.
It's May 1st, but actually tornadoes can start as early as in February. If you've had a warm February and you get a cold front coming in, well, that can spur it. March, I think March is actually March is the tornado month where you're having that transition from cold weather to hot weather or warm weather. And then April is just sort of in the middle. I think tornado season, quote-unquote, ends, for us anyway, basically in June. However, you can have a tornado in December. You can have a tornado any time that the conditions happen to be right. I don't think it's sort of, for us, it sort of goes along with hurricane season, which we've had, Hurricane Bob, I think. There were two Bobs who were fairly close together. We were in one, and then about 4 or 5 years later, a second Hurricane Bob came in off of the Atlantic and was traveling west, coming from the Atlantic going west, and spurred a number of tornadoes. And this would have been in, late September, early October. Hurricane season for us goes from June through November. And this was in October, I believe. And we were in the process of building our cabin up in the mountains. And it came up to North Georgia and just played heck with part of the forest and stuff. So it can be basically any time of the year. With that being said, we have talked our way right into a commercial, and we're going to do that momentarily. I want to remind everybody that you're listening to the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio. We'll be back right after this.
45 years of experience is behind the most trusted name in auto transportation. Passport Transport, the first and finest today. That's why Passport Transport is the preferred auto transport for major auto manufacturers, concours, museums, tours, and collectors, and should be your choice from across the state to across the country. When you have the need, go to PassportTransport.com and enjoy the peace of mind referenced experience will give you. Passport Transport.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Cook Immigration Partners is your passport through the immigration maze. Whether it's help with E-Verify in your business, or help in how to document a new employee under the new I-9 rules, or if you marry a foreign national, Cook Immigration Partners is your best choice for a legal advocate. Call us today at 866-286-6200. That's 866-286-6200. Or visit us on the web at www.immigration.net.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio. I want to emphasize that America's Web Radio. And we appreciate the numbers that you folks are giving us, listening to the shows on podcast. And we thank each and every one of you. It's been quite a ride. Anyway, so you looked up...
You were talking about tornadoes, and not surprisingly, you can Google tornadoes and come up with all sorts of really frightening information. Georgia is in Zone 3, which is a 200-mile-an-hour. Zone 3 is the second worst zone to be in. Arkansas actually looks like in Zone 1, which is a 250-mile-an-hour event. But tornadoes cover, it looks like, two-thirds of the United States. It's a big area that you can experience tornadoes in.
Well, growing up in Lubbock, and, we experienced, as a kid, I can remember, my parents, getting us under the whatever and, getting ready and all this kind of stuff. But, and we heard stories, I've heard stories of a straw, a piece of wheat or grain sorghum, the stalk being put through a telephone pole, just weird things that a tornado can do. And as I mentioned, this would have been 1970, which you and I should both remember well. We were both at Fort Ord starting in January, and then a tornado. I had come back from, we'd been out on maneuvers at AIT, and we'd been out a week on our little camping experience. Came back on Saturday, and went to the PX, and there on the newspaper was Texas City devastated by tornado. So I picked up, and it was Lubbock. And I did call home, and got my parents, and they said they were okay, but that Lubbock had really been hit. So I went to my CO and asked him what I needed to do about if I could get – I was a week away from graduating from advanced infantry training. And he said, tough it out. You're not going anywhere. So a friend of mine said, there's one person in the military that's more powerful than your commanding officer. So – On the Saturday, I went to the chaplain, and sure enough, I had orders to go home almost as quick as you could cut them. And got arranged a flight out of Monterey and flew home on, I believe it was on a Sunday. And the reason my aunt picked me up, the aunt that you happened to have come over to her house, Dan, lived next door to someone.
Right.
She picked me up at the airport because my parents' garage had been damaged enough that they couldn't get their car out, or their cars out, either one of them. The garage doors wouldn't open, and they had to get repairmen to fix the garage doors where they could get their cars out. So she picked me up, and, you know, we went to, and the airport was, I think we were the first night flight to land after the tornado. I can't remember. It seems like the tornado hit on Wednesday or Thursday, and I came in on Sunday, and we were the first night flight to land. And it was amazing. So I go out on, I literally went from being in basic train or in AIT advanced training to being on. I was in the National Guard. They were called up, and I literally went from one uniform to the next uniform and worked with the National Guard the next week or so. And I saw things. I'd never seen the damage or seen the effects of a tornado, but, you know, right before me, there was the straw through the telephone pole. There was, the damage to cars, the damage to homes, it was all just phenomenal, unbelievable, you know, what you saw and what a tornado. My dad owned some warehouses, and as it turned out, they wound up being condemned, but they had 18-foot ceilings the tornado literally ripped 3 feet out of the top. It was about 4 or 5 feet down from the top, but this is unbelievable, but it's the truth. Ripped out 3 feet and set the roof back down in the place, and it, you know, it did it all around, and he'd lost.
Yeah. You essentially went from an 18-foot ceiling to a 15-foot ceiling.
Exactly. And it was just amazing. I had my train set in one of my dad's warehouses, and it had been, when I had it and was playing with it, he had built a 2-foot stand for it, and then a 4x8 sheet of plywood and my name on it and a bunch of stuff and the track and all this kind of stuff. And I can remember it today. And on one end was the big transformer, the two-deal transformer. And I had put all of my cars in a box, never thinking that anything would ever happen, and stuck the cardboard box with all my trains or my engines and all the cars underneath this thing. So, and attached to the 4x8 was a log loader and, I don't know, different train things that you'd have. So my dad's warehouse, this was another warehouse, about two blocks away from the one that I talked about with the roof. This was about two blocks away, and it had been just totally destroyed. So I go digging through looking for my train, and the transformer had been on one corner of this 4x8 sheet of plywood and bolted down, okay? So I get up in the warehouse and where it had been stored. The 4x8 sheet of plywood was gone. The stand that it had been attached to was still sitting there. The box of cars, the engine and the cars, were just sitting there. And the transformer was sitting next to the box. had been unscrewed from the 4x8 sheet of plywood and was sitting by the box. I was 21 years or 23 years old, and just it was mind-boggling. So I went out and did a search, trying to find if I could find the log loader or find anything else that had been attached to the piece of plywood. I found one little 2x2 inch by 1 inch or something roof that had been on the little one of the little deals on the board, and that was it. Wow. I found nothing else, but there were the engine and all the cars that I had. And as you know, I think it was set. Well, I'm sure it was set up when you came up to the mountains. I had rebuilt everything just like it had been when I was a kid, and rebuilt it for the boys, and added another train set to it as well. But tornadoes. The moral of the story is, it just, you know, incredible.
Well, now wasn't the tornado in Lubbock, wasn't that unique because it was the first or the only tornado set down in a metropolitan area?
Oh, no.
Wasn't there something strange about the fact that it had actually started inside city limits?
Okay, well, I can't argue with you. If you're saying started, yeah, I mean, I can't argue with you. I don't know. That may very well be the case.
I got to find out now because that's my memory. It occurred on May 11th, 1970.
Yep.
It was one of the worst tornadoes in Texas history. And it occurred exactly 17 years to the day after the deadly Waco tornado. And it's also the most recent F5. So it was an F5 tornado to have struck a central business district of a large city. So, yeah, so there is some kind of connection there of an F5 or a large tornado inside a city.
Before that, I would have been about, 7 or 8, maybe as old as 10. No, I would have been about 7, because I remember it quite well. A tornado hit Dallas, and I was listening to it on my Hopalong Cassidy radio, listening to the news, and that's when I decided I wanted to be in radio. I was listening to the people doing the reporting in Dallas of that tornado that had hit in the afternoon, as a matter of fact. And, tornadoes are, when the alarms go off here in Atlanta, and I know that we have bad weather in the area, generally speaking, particularly if I'm at home, I head for the basement.
Head for the cellar. I'm looking at the Lubbock tornado pictures here, and you may not believe this, but there's this big tree, and it's got a little boy's train engine stuck in it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But
well, I had all the cars, so I know it couldn't have been one of mine. Now, if it had been my log loader or something like that, I might have bought it. Well, with that being said, it's time to take another break on the Dan and Dave Show. We'll be back right after this.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because we believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that is individual. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing, have frequent throat or sinus infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you'll be treated as an individual and not as an ailment. During your visit, you will not be rushed and all your questions will be answered. When possible, natural treatments will be recommended to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave show, and Dan's talking about, this was the Lubbock tornado that they had the video of?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. It was bad. I wasn't there when the tornado hit, but it was bad mocus. Bad. And interestingly enough, I don't recall. Now, like I said, my parents had damage at their home, but not bad. It was just irritating damage. But I don't think Tech had any damage, as I recall. And my parents' home was right across the street from the university. I don't know. I can't remember any. But it, you know, and tornadoes will, and here's a phenomenon that I've thought of in the recent years. The tornadoes that I was aware of and grew up were, they would hop along the ground, you know, they would come down, do a lot of damage, go back up, come back down, go up, go down, and so forth. And it seems like just in the past few years, and this is what the problem is in Canton, Texas today, is that it seems like tornadoes have changed from that type of bouncing up and down to where they may be a mile, half a mile, mile wide, and just keep going. And even the tornado that hit here in Atlanta, like I said, 15, 16 years ago, it went over my house and then sat down and went along a quarter of a mile, half a mile wide and did a bunch of damage and then went back up into the clouds. And I don't know, maybe I'm crazy, but I don't know the changes or what would make it change from one that stays on the ground to one that pops up and down.
Yeah, I know. I remember an event, tornado event last year, they were talking about how long it stayed on the ground and how much area it covered. So do you remember Jackie's Automotive in Lubbock?
No. Where was
okay.
it?
Okay. Well,
did they give
Jackie
an address?
Jackie Mize is talking about the tornado.
Did I happen to give an address?
No.
You realize, too, that it shut down the only skyscraper that Lubbock had. The Great Plains Life Building was a 21-story building, and it twisted it, and it shut it down. In fact, it ultimately had to be torn down. I think they put in Great Plains Life Building in Lubbock. But it was obviously twisted. No, I think, come to think of it, I think they did finally repair it. They were some way able to untwist the twist. And partly because that was one of the last buildings, and I can't remember. I remember it being built, but I can't remember what year it was. But that was one of the last buildings erected in the United States using rivets.
Rivets?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, what, wells?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Rivets. Yeah, here's a building twisted by their tornado. They're showing, oh, they're... had a camera angle right at the corner of the building, and you could actually see the twist. Very interesting. Wow. So that was an F5 tornado, so the winds must have been over 250 miles an hour. That's a big boy. Here's another one in Oklahoma. It's frightening looking at these funnels. They're frightening.
Well,
goodness,
a tornado in Lubbock was what time? It was like at 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
I mean,
maybe it was a little bit earlier. So, and those are the scariest. It's scary enough to be daylight and have it turn almost nightly, and see it coming or whatever. But the tornado that's at midnight when it's already dark that you can't really see, all you can see is what it's doing, destroying transformers blowing up, lights going out, and this kind of thing. But the tornado that hit Lubbock was at night, and I can't remember exactly what time, but bad
news. Yeah. Well, oh, yeah, so they're showing night photography right now, and you can see the transformers popping. They're showing hailstones the size of baseballs.
Wow. Was this in Lubbock, or where was this?
Yeah, in Lubbock.
In Lubbock?
Yeah,
doing that? Oh, okay.
Or surrounding area.
Yeah.
Buildings are just shredded.
Mm-hmm.
See, I didn't, I was at Fort Ord, but, I, not being from Lubbock, I didn't go there, or I never saw the damage. So this video is the first time I've really seen the damage caused.
I had never, my home we were roommates, you came and lived in the house there on 14th, I could drive around and get to my house, taking some side streets, and my house had no damage to it. However, and this would have been the Saturday after I got home, I guess. However, there was tree damage, and they were working to get the trees up as fast as they could, but I think it was the next Saturday. I wouldn't swear to it, but it was about 7 o'clock in the morning, and I woke up and I was hearing all of this buzzing. I couldn't figure out what in the world is going on. I mean, it was just incredible amount of noise. So I get up, I go outside, and there are all of these guys with chainsaws running around cutting up trees that had fallen. And they were just, I mean, they were just working their tails off. And I went over and introduced myself and asked if there was anything, I could get them or whatever and so forth. And they were Mennonites that had come down from Pennsylvania and brought their chainsaws with them, and that was their mission. And I'm just sort of standing there with my mouth hanging open, They charged nothing. I offered to pay, and they, oh, no, this is our mission, this is our service, this is our way of showing our help. And, I mean, they cleaned up that where the tree had fallen, and stacked the wood, and then they went on to that's all they were doing was driving through Lubbock looking for where they could help and use their chainsaws. It was amazing.
Now, that's a strange story.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, it saved me a ton of money, but, you know,
well,
they...
I'm looking, there's a map here with an overlay of where the tornado path was, and it came to the, right to the edge of the Texas Tech campus, and then it turned away and went the opposite direction, but it looks like it went pretty, very, very close to where your parents lived. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
19th and Gary, and then if you go and then if you go over to 7th and Avenue K, 7th and K, that's where my dad's office was, and the warehouse, and then on, it would have been on Texas Avenue where it hit the other warehouse. And it did a slight bit of damage, as I recall, to Lubbock City Hall and the jail. It did a little bit of damage to the jail, as I remember. But we set up the armory. My National Guard armory was on 4th, I believe, 4th Street. And we set up our headquarters there and worked outwardly. I don't think North Atlanta was hit. North Atlanta, North Lubbock was hit very much. It was basically the center of Lubbock, and I don't think South Lubbock was damaged particularly, if any. I think it was all basically downtown and our that stretch from, I don't know where it first came down, how far west it was. Does it show on there?
Yeah, it doesn't show. The map is a smaller area than that, basically just downtown Lubbock. Yeah. And, you know, they have tornado hunters that track these things, and they go, you know, they drive close to them, and every year or so I see where one guy is killed or, you know, gets involved where he shouldn't be.
Yeah,
a lot of adrenaline in a tornado. I'm sure if you're close to a tornado, you're feeling it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like you say, the hair on your head stands up, but it is where the moist air and the dry air come together.
And it's temperature too, isn't it?
Temperature related, I suppose. Yeah.
I think it's where the cold hits the hot, I think.
Well, and it starts that cyclonic pattern, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. But yeah, you were, the Lubbock tornado was F5, which is actually over 250 miles an hour wind. I don't think they have an F6 tornado. I think F5 is the highest on the on the tornado factor.
You don't live to remember the F6.
Yeah, I guess. Wow. Wow. Yeah, I would invite our listeners to find the Lubbock 1970 F5 tornado documentary. It's on YouTube. Just do a search, you'll find it. It's very interesting. It'll make you appreciate the fine efforts of Dave rescuing the city. He left his mission in Fort Ord, California, and raced to aid the city.
Right.
You know, we have some fine people in the Dan and Dave show, don't we?
We do. Dan is... well known for his philanthropic activities.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's why we're so highly rated on Google.
On Google's, yes.
Yeah, had to bring that up, didn't we?
Certainly. Certainly. Well, with that being said, it's time to take our final break on the Dan and Dave Show. We'll be back right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is Lawyer Liz. Join me each week as we discuss drones, the Internet of Things, and all the technology in between. It's Buzz Off with Lawyer Liz, Wednesdays at 2.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And welcome back to the Dan and Dave Show, only on America's Web Radio, your conservative radio station. We're glad to have you listening in to a fun and thrilling show about tornadoes.
You've got me scared now. I've been looking on my computer, and I went from tornadoes to other natural disasters. I think I'm going to go get under my bed and hide. Stuff going on.
Well, y'all don't even really have hurricanes, do you? That affect Portland?
No, we don't. Our weather here is pretty mild, except for the Columbus Day storm, which was in 1962. And that was a big, big event, and it covered a massive area all the way from the Pacific Northwest up through British Columbia. It occurred on, obviously, Columbus Day, and my wife remembers it. She said in her neighborhood, most of the trees were down. You couldn't drive anywhere for 2 or 3 weeks while they were clearing telephone poles and trees and house parts. And she said it was a big, big event. She remembers it. So every time the wind starts blowing here, she gets a little bit worried. I don't know how hard that wind blew.
It was just a windstorm?
Yeah, it was just a forceful wind. It was the remnants of Typhoon Frida.
Oh, okay.
And, I'm sure it was temperature-related wind caused, but it was just a massive, I don't think it was a tornado-type wind. It was just hard blowing from one direction wind. And it hit the coast. It hit hundreds of thousands of acres of forest were taken down.
Wow.
I remember when I first moved here in 1972, driving out to the coast, you would see huge trees just all laying down on the ground. And that was 20 years after after the Columbus Day storm.
I only experienced it once, talking about wind and weird things. One Sunday morning, I got up and went out to get my newspaper, and there was just this layer, maybe an eighth to a quarter inch thick, layer of sort of a vanilla colored, a little bit tannish vanilla color, all over the ground, everywhere. And as I walked to get to the newspaper, you'd step and there'd be a little puff, you know, and this fine whatever it was would sort of puff up, and I thought, oh my God, I'm the last person alive. This is it. It happened overnight. I slept through it, and the world has come to an end. I mean, it was everywhere.
They didn't tell you.
And they didn't tell me. Except my newspaper was there. So I said, well, obviously the newspaper guy got here well before the end of the world. And what had happened, and I don't know if it's happened again or not, but that was quite an... As you may or may not recall, a lot of our sandstorms and a lot of our bad weather came from the north, came down through Kansas and right into West Texas. And what had happened was we had a bad, bad sandstorm headed for Lubbock, except it got to Lubbock and the winds just died. It just quit. And so all the silt and the sand that was in the atmosphere just dropped to the ground and covered Lubbock in this fine, it wasn't even sand, it was just the fine, fine stuff. Almost like a powder. It was a powder. And that's why when you take a step, I'd never seen anything like it before in my life. Never have since. But I thought, and then I got to thinking, well, I can't be the only one alive because I hear cars, and I didn't see a car. And, oh, that was the other thing. You drive down the street, and all of this stuff, this powder, would fly all over the place, you know? It was just, and like, you know, I said, it was a storm.
That sounds like the ash we had from Mount St. Helens.
Yeah, yeah.
When it erupted.
Yeah. I've still got the jar of ash that you sent me.
Isn't nature strange like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's where I get off on your buddy Al Gore and all of this climate warming and all this kind of stuff that... You know, Mother Nature is going to do what Mother Nature wants, and I'm not sure how much man is really involved in it. And, you know, we've been trying for hundreds of years to make it rain when we wanted it to rain, and we've not been successful at that. Seeding of the clouds doesn't seem to do a whole lot of good. We've not been able to stop hurricanes. We've not been able to stop tornadoes. The best thing we can do is predict them and stay out of the way of tornadoes or whatever, you know.
Well, and here's an article on it's raining frogs, and I guess you may have heard that tale.
Oh, yeah.
But apparently it has actually rained frogs in certain areas. So a tornado or a water spout or something picks up fish and snakes and frogs, and then, you know, they go up into the atmosphere, and they may come down hundreds of miles from where they went up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Here's a video about it. Oh, no. Oh. Strange stuff.
It is. So... I'm promoting this thing, as I mentioned to you earlier. I think it's about time to go to a four-day weekend and a three-day work week. Would you support me if that's on my platform?
Yep. Yep. You got it.
I got one voter now.
I say let's start this weekend.
Sounds good to me. We just quit on, do we quit on, we take off Friday and Monday, right? And then there'd be no Dan and Dave show.
Perfect.
I hear applause in the background.
What would our audience do? They would dial us in at 10 o'clock or 7 o'clock or whatever time it is in their time zone, and we wouldn't be there. We can't do that.
They probably wouldn't care.
We have too many people depending on us.
They'd be relieved that they didn't have to get up and listen.
Yeah, well,
it would be a shock to some, for sure, if we just disappeared.
Yeah, I know my wife made a couple of comments this morning about me doing the radio show with you, and, you know,
I bet they weren't favorable.
I'm not sure people take us seriously, but we sure take this show seriously, right?
Yeah, we've been doing it for a number of years, as a matter of fact.
How long? Like,
about three,
15 years?
3, 4, 5 years?
I thought we'd been on 20 years anyway.
Just feels like it. Just feels like it.
It just feels like this show was 20 years long.
Well, it has been. We started it back in. No, I think you're right. I think you're right. Days you got it and some days you don't got it. You know, what can you say?
Anyway, you started this this show off today talking about Michael in Texas, and we're wishing him the best. And so is he going to be able to do a show this week?
No, he's going to be taking off because they don't have power. He can't keep his cell phone charged, so we're not going to do a show for at least probably 2 weeks. Our Constitution.
Wow.
So that will be, that's life. You do what you got to do, and so that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, that makes a good case for solar chargers, solar cell phone chargers.
Yeah, it does. It does. I don't even know where you can get those, do you?
You look online.
Ah.
You say, hey, Siri.
Well,
I had great conversations with Siri this week, and I'll tell you about that later. But we could do a whole show on Siri. Just let Siri do the show.
Is that like Ebates?
Yeah, no.
They pay you for buying through them or whatever?
No.
Oh.
No. Siri's, if you have an Apple phone, Siri is the little voice that tells you everything.
Oh, well, I have the Droid. I don't have one of the fancy iPhones.
And I don't know if she's a she or a he. On my phone, he's a he, but on some other phones, he's a she, so I get confused.
What else is new?
That's kind of a sign of the times.
Well, that's true. Well, with that being said, Dan, it's time to put the plug in the jug, get out of here, get ready for Kurt Sumner, and they're legitimate. He has real guests, and they're breathing, and they just, you know, he does a heck of a job on land surveying, and it's time for us to give way to the NSPS Hour.
Well, ask him about tornadoes, and if my land gets hit by a tornado and it blows over onto your property, is it still my land?
No, I've captured it from you.
Oh, crap.
So you're out of
luck. All right.
Okay. Take care. We'll see you next week on the Dan and Dave Show. You're listening to America's Web Radio. We'll be back with the NSPS Hour right after a couple of messages. Take care, Dan.
You too, Dave.